Welcome to Parenting Matters on Nashville Catholic Radio, WBOU 100.5 FM, sponsored by the Family Life Office of the Diocese of Nashville and Holy Family Catholic Church in Brentwood. Your host for the program is Dr. Parr Donahue. Dr. Parr has years of experience in pediatrics and parenting. He was named the Senior Pediatrician of the Year by the Tennessee Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics in 2014. Dr. Parr is the author of four books, including books on parenting entitled Messengers in Denim, The Amazing Things Parents Can Learn from Teens, and Tools for Effective Parenting. Visit Dr. Parr's blog at www.parentingwithdrparr.com. Today's topic is the value of pets. Here's your host, Dr. Parr Donahue.
Welcome to Parenting Matters on WBOU-FM. Our topic today, the value of pets. Our guest expert is Dr. Heather Bowling, a veterinarian from McKay Mills Hospital, Animal Hospital in Franklin. With her are Krista and David Wyatt, who will be joining her later on to round out our panel. A great big welcome to you, our guests, and to you, our listeners. Now my monologue. I became acutely aware of the worth of pets while at work one beautiful summer day. I was alone enjoying lunch on the office patio when my reverie was interrupted by a pleasant young girl walking towards the patio. I recognized her as a patient of mine and stood to welcome her. She told me she had come with her mom to pick up a prescription and hoped that I would be here. Shaking my extended hand, she began, "I want you to meet someone." And she gestured to a dog she had at the end of her leash. "Her name is Ole," she said, as she sat down under the market umbrella and lifted the rather large dog to her lap. He kissed her on the lips. She said, "I suppose you think that's unsanitary," she said without embarrassment. Then she added, "It's better than kissing a dumb boy." Her mood shifted abruptly and tears welled up in her eyes. "Sounds like you broke up with your boyfriend," I suggested. "Well, I did, or I should say he broke up with me." And tears began flowing. Ole glanced at her, then began licking away her tears as they formed on her cheeks. When he thought she had cried enough, he nibbled on her earlobe. With that, she giggled and pulled herself together, looked at me and said, "I just can't stay sad or mad when Ole's around. He always understands. People should be more like dogs. I know my mom loves me, but she just doesn't understand the way Ole does. Neither do my friends. Having Ole is like always having a best friend. I can tell him everything, and he listens. He understands. He never interrupts, never gets mad at me, never tells me what to do, and he's always there when I need him." Now, Emily knew what she was talking about. Dogs show compassion, loyalty, unconditional love, and they give us another opportunity to enjoy God's creation. Studies have shown what pet owners have always known. Having a pet helps us stay healthy. Doctors have discovered that adult pet owners live longer, recover faster after an illness or injury, and are generally happier than adults who do not have a pet. Kids who have a close relationship with a pet have an easier time coping with the stresses of life. The American Academy of Pediatrics, in a statement about ways to love your kids, said owning a pet can make children, even those with chronic illnesses or disabilities, feel better by stimulating physical activity, enhancing their overall attitude, and offering constant companionship. Infants who are exposed to dogs and cats have fewer allergies as children and as adults, which is completely at odds with the old doctor's tales that families with a history of allergies should not have pets. The medical profession now knows that the presence of a dog or cat in the home decreases the risk of allergies and asthma. Psychologists and psychiatrists have discovered that pets can help their patients get better faster. People seeing therapists are more comfortable talking about sensitive issues while holding, petting, or just being near a pet. The grandmother of our family dog, Belle, worked with a psychotherapist in Wisconsin. Now, I never met Belle's mother or her grandmother, but if they're anything like Belle, I'm sure she was an excellent therapist. Pets also help us with physical illnesses. Having a pet decreases heart rate and blood pressure. Pets, especially big dogs and horses, encourage their owners to exercise. Exercise has many health benefits. It reduces the incidence of obesity, decreases the risk of heart attacks, and helps control blood pressure. And the dogs provide protection as well as companionship. Some dogs help kids learn to read. My grandsons went to a school that had a yellow dog named Dusty. He loved to sit and listen to the kids read. He was never critical of the reader and always interested in anything and anyone who pays attention to him. The kids loved to read to him. And by reading more, the children improved their reading skills and consequently their self-esteem. Now, many homes for delinquent boys have in-house pets that teach the boys structure, responsibility, and the discipline to become responsible adults. Now let me introduce our guest expert, Dr. Bolling. Dr. Bolling is a graduate of Auburn University Veterinarian School and practices in Franklin, Tennessee, where she takes care of, among other things, our dog Frosty. She and her husband are the parents of three delightful and beautiful daughters and worship at Franklin United First United Methodist Church. Welcome, Heather, to WBOU FM 100.5, streaming around the world at WBOU.org. Thanks for being here. Please feel to comment as a parent as well as a doctor.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Why don't you start by telling our listeners why you became a veterinarian? Then tell us something about the ways you think pets are helpful to families.
So I decided early on at the age of 5 that was my calling, was to be a vet, and I've always enjoyed that aspect and caring for animals and just the love that they have always shown us and seeing the effects that they can have on everyone. So I never changed my mind and stayed with it, you know, all the way through. Pets for families are very helpful in many ways, and just that they do, like you had said, they keep them active. It's a common bond, especially for children in this age, is it does provide that companion and the confidant and just that stress relief that so many kids, you know, need. It's just that secret keeper that they can tell their pet anything, you know, they want. And even more so for kids now is it teaches responsibility. And, you know, it gives them a job. All of our girls take care of our pets in feeding, cleaning the litter box, and walking, you know, the animals. And so we've seen a lot of help in that way. And even one of our girls participates in equine therapy. And that is new for us, and it's been a good change, you know, also.
Good. Thank you very much. You know, some parents worry that if they get a pet, that pets are going to bring diseases or injuries or something into the home. Is there any basis for these worries?
So there are some, and a lot of it comes down to the preventative care. But there's different intestinal parasites or some skin diseases, you know, that can be transmitted. And again, it comes to choosing a pet carefully. But also bringing them into the vet within typically that first week so that we can get a good look at them, do some tests, and if they are positive for anything as far as parasites, we can treat appropriately. And a lot of it just comes down to routine hand washing and taking care and being the parent and making sure, you know, that the kids are participating on their end with it.
So you're telling me you get your kids to wash their hands every time they touch an animal?
Right. Wouldn't that be lovely? Uh-huh. I wish.
You know, there was a pet store in Franklin that was, they said that they were driven out of town, but the city council said that they passed a law and then they just moved out by themselves. They found that these dogs had, I think you told me, kennel cough.
Mm-hmm.
But the CDC reported 118 people, most of them children, who developed diarrhea, bacterial diarrhea. Many of them were hospitalized. The bacteria they found were carried to the home by puppies bought at pet stores. And 90% of these puppies have been treated with antibiotics during their stay in the puppy farm. Have you experienced anything like that?
We do see it. Thankfully, we don't see it as much as we used to, but especially with pet stores, and it's a high stress environment, and they don't come from the best backgrounds often because it is more of the money making opportunity. And so there's often corners that are cut. So we will see some come in. And again, that was where it goes back to that first visit, and we deworm and make sure, you know, that they're healthy. But even from that pet store, we saw a lot of very sick pets, you know, mm-hmm. come from there. And again, it's a life lesson, you know, for the family right away. It's a tough lesson, you know, that they can get that sick. But it does come back to choosing the pet carefully.
Mm-hmm. As much as we like pets, then we need to know that they need attention too. When we get a pet, we take on a certain responsibility for food and budgetary restraints. The Americans spend $62 billion a year on their health care for their pets. Are there any ways that families can decrease these costs?
There are a few, and the biggest thing is knowing ahead of time what you can afford. And a lot of young couples will get pets and not knowing that when they're sick, that unexpected cost, you know, can affect them. But budgeting ahead of time, there are some pet, you know, insurance plans out there as well. But preventative care is probably the most important, of staying on top, you know, of things before they become issues. And even when they're in a dire situation and the pet is very sick, there are some programs like Care Credit that they can apply for, and it gives them, you know, an easy 6 months to still be able to pay for, you know, a large unexpected, mm-hmm. you know, cost.
Heather, is pet health insurance available in Nashville?
It is. There's several different, and they're often more of a nationwide, you know, there's through the AVMA and AHA, Purina, a lot of different large companies carry it. And again, they're all very different. There's some private ones also that you have to do the research to figure out which plan is appropriate. But they can help you be able to do more. Mm-hmm. But they're still not inexpensive, mm-hmm. you know, for sure. But it comes down to research.
What do you think about giving kids a birthday present or a surprise Christmas present that has a puppy or kitty?
I think it can be a very good thing, as long as it's the right fit for the family at the right time. We see lots of Christmas puppies and kittens. The hardest part with those puppies is people don't think ahead to the potty training in the snow and ice.
Oh, yes.
And that's a little bit more of an adventure. But as long as, you know, they know what's ahead of them, and, you know, as far as planning trips and being able to take care of boarding, and just knowing they have enough time, you know, with them at those moments, it's just one of those memories that the child will have forever.
Yes, they're so important.
Yes.
Dr. Bowling, I think Krista and David are getting anxious over there. Why don't we hear from them? Okay? David has a PhD in nursing and healthcare systems and a master's degree in human development and another in public health. So he's pretty much uneducated. He is the vice president of perioperative enterprises at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. Krista has her degree in music and education. Two so very important things. I mean, music is kind of like pets. You know,
it is.
It's so important for a family. We did a show on music a few weeks ago. Krista she teaches English online at K-12 International Academy. And they are active members of the City Church of Franklin. Welcome to Parenting Matters on WBOU-FM 100.5 on your dial and streaming throughout the world on WBOU.org.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for being our guest. I really appreciate it. Krista, tell us a bit about your family, but first, tell me, how in the world can you teach English online?
Very carefully. This is my 10th year in online education. I taught for 10 years in brick and mortar prior. Of course, it's a different world. I don't think there's any preparation that a teacher can have other than just doing it, just teaching online. We use a platform that's a virtual classroom. We hold live sessions multiple times a week. The students are expected to be engaged and communicate with their teachers. I think that the benefits, there are pros and cons, definitely. We have students in over 60 countries.
Really?
And every state here, United States, we see everything from Olympic athletes, Olympic athlete hopefuls. We have student actors. We have students whose parents have been maybe transferred to Paris for a year or so. So we have a wide range of students, but they have to be engaged and willing to work hard. The benefits are, I think they are reaching out to they're interacting with their teachers like they will a college professor eventually. So,
oh,
but
so cool.
I know we're talking about pets today, online education.
Tell us a bit about your family.
We have three girls. We have an 18-year-old who just finished her first semester of college, and then we have 12-year-old twin girls.
Mm-hmm. How did you, I just got to ask this question before we go to David, but how did your girls react? I mean, how did your dogs react when your daughters went to college?
Oh, there was grief. There was, and there were a few calls to Heather. we call her Special. There, we think there may have been some birth trauma, and she was the runt, and she's the cutest thing, but she's not all there. But she's precious. But she did some emotional eating. It was as if she could not eat enough in all hours of the day, and she's not like that. She usually doesn't know when she's hungry. Her stomach will growl incessantly. And so she had some grief.
She's very close to Kendall.
She's very, very emotionally
tired. How did she
tired.
React when Kendall came home from college?
Well, there was a mess to clean up.
She gets very excited.
She was very excited, and she hasn't left her side since. And then if Kendall leaves the house for a couple hours to go see friends, Bella will sit by the front door, by the garage door, whichever door she left, mm-hmm. and she will wait for her. It's almost heartbreaking.
It is. And thank you. David Tatouat, you've had pets all... Well, happy birthday, first of all.
Thank you.
And thanks for sharing it with us. You've had pets all your life,
yes.
what I understand,
yep.
many of them. What do you think you've learned and your family have learned from pets?
Well, I do think one of the most important things, excuse me, of... having pets in a family is, you know, so easy in our society and our culture for people to become so focused on themselves. And I think particularly for kids to have another creature that is very dependent on them, not just physically for activity and feeding, but also for love. I think it teaches a lot of good lessons about life isn't about always being focused on yourself. And
David,
how you can care.
I had not thought about that. It's such a good point. Thank you.
I think I've seen that, we've seen that a lot with our girls, mm-hmm. how it forces them to think of more than just what's going on with them.
Mm-hmm. Heather was saying that her dogs help with all the chores around the house, but from what I've read, that most of the time the pets are... the kids' pets, but mom does most of the care, and dad takes care of exercising them. How is a kid going to learn responsibility and learn the benefits of having a pet if they let mom and dad do all the work?
They don't. They don't.
I like it.
Yeah. So we do have to. Now, our girls, with our oldest, who is 18 now, she was very good at remembering, and she would act, you know, she's much older. We have to admit with our 12-year-olds, they still need some reminders that, you know, just like you get hungry, Bella and Gracie get hungry. And so, you know, remember that. As soon as we remind them, you know, it's not like asking them to go take out the trash because there's no feeling associated with mm-hmm. that.
No kidding.
There's feeling around taking care of their dogs. And so that it doesn't take much to get them to do that.
Did you train your own dogs, or did you have to go to obedience school, or what did you do with that?
You could have stopped at, did you train your dogs?
Gracie came from a family that the wife was, she was actually the husband's dog, and he was a former Marine, and he had worked extensively with her. And So he did the training for us. She's very well behaved. She knows some basic commands. We didn't work with Bella on our own. We did have a dog one time that was a rescue, and we did have somebody come in to work with her just because she was beyond our scope of what we could do. So when we've needed to, we've had somebody come in and work with them or taken them to a trainer. The rehomes that we have are generally trained or come to us with some basic commands, and we mm-hmm. haven't gone much beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Heather, do you have anything to add to the obedience training schools?
Well, and I think a lot, you know, depends. I have quite a few families who will try to have, you know, fix different challenges, you know, at the house. And in those cases, I will have a private trainer come in. But even just puppies, taking them to, you know, one of the bigger facilities and just doing the puppy training classes, mm-hmm. it's really good as a family and interacting and doing that. And it's just the social skills, you know, for the pets at that point that can help. But we use a lot of trainers for a multitude of different reasons, just from basic commands to, you know, aggression to fear or anything like that. They play a big role in keeping the pet in the house and keeping it part of the family.
I think that's so important, too. David, you were going to say something I heard.
I think one of the harder things around training dogs is when you have kids, mm-hmm. To remind the children in the house that it's very important that these pets, as you're training them, have a consistent you don't train if it's random. You
kind train of like parenting, isn't it?
It's exactly like parenting. Yeah,
it's a lot.
And I think that's another lesson for kids to learn, that every time you encounter this situation with this particular pet, you need to have the same response. That's what trains them. Mm-hmm. So
we're training our kids to train their dogs. Yes,
yeah. And then by we're actually all getting trained.
Well, our dog has us trained pretty well.
She does.
Have you ever had a dog that didn't work out?
We have.
Tell us about that and what was wrong, what happened?
She was a rescue. She tugged at our heartstrings, and she just wasn't a good fit for our family. My error was in not doing the research, not talking to Heather, and we rescued a dog that she was a blue heeler, border collie mix, and too high energy. And that's the dog that we had someone come in and work with her. And so she did receive training and extensive training, but even after training, she wasn't a good fit for our family. So she really, truly did go to live on a farm, a horse farm, where she was much happier.
She was a shepherding type breed and would try to shepherd our mm-hmm. very small girls at this point. They were probably four. And so
she would nip at their heels.
She wanted to guide them sure. like sheep. And so it was one of those situations where it was very important for us to find the right place for her. Mm-hmm. And so we luckily were able to find a family that had some land and also some horses that she could play with. Mm-hmm. So it was a good
win-win
situation.
It was.
Yep.
It was hard still. The girls
still talk about her.
Yeah.
So. How long did you have her?
About a year.
Yeah, it was about a year.
9 months
yeah.
to a year. And we did try.
Now, you've gotten most of your dogs from rehoming, is
mm-hmm.
that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We learned when they come to you as a rehoming situation, you're not doing the potty training. This was the case with our last three or four dogs. And then in some cases, it's a win-win because we're helping a family. Gracie came to us because the wife was undergoing chemotherapy and had developed some allergies, and they just couldn't keep her. And in fact, our oldest said the other day, do you think this family knows what they gave up? I said, well, I think they do, but this was the best situation for her. And mm-hmm. I said, because they loved her so much, they wanted the best for her. And if that meant giving her up, that's what they had to do.
She's one of the best dogs we've ever had.
He's smitten. It didn't take long. But
you know, it kind of reminds me of our next show we're going to do is on adoption. Mm. And I think that women who give up their baby for adoption, now just mm-hmm. like this lady talked about, it wrenches their heart.
Yes.
But they did the right thing
right.
for the right thing. play that kid. Mm-hmm. That's so important. Heather, have you had any problem with kids being afraid of pets, or dogs and cats?
We do see it, and a lot of it, you know, is kind of case by case. Some of it can be from, and most often from, being bit at some point by another dog and just being in a situation. But a lot of it is just talking through, you know, with the families. When they come in to see me, you know, with their pets, I'll engage, you know, the kids. I'll let them, you know, use the stethoscope to listen to their pet's heart. And seeing their little smile, you know exactly when they've heard, yep. you know, the heartbeat. Yep. And so talking to them and getting, you know, them involved, and then, you know, just explaining about going slow and, you know, what signs to watch for. As far as if they're fearful, and more often if a dog bites, it's out of fear. Mm-hmm. Kids move fast, and so they're unpredictable, and that's usually where, you know, a reaction or a bite mm-hmm. will come from. Mm-hmm. And we'll have Girl Scout troops come through the clinic for a tour, and that is one of the major things that we'll talk about. And I'll send home a flyer with different pictures, just showing them, you know, so that they know what to do in any situation.
Oh, good. Is your dog a member of the family?
Absolutely.
How about yours?
Very much so.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed it. It's been a real, real pleasure talking with you. But before I sign off, one quick story. 4 years ago, we had to put our dog of 16 years down. It was a traumatic event. Still is. I made her a beautiful coffin, and we buried her in the backyard and wrapped in a blanket that Dr. Bullen kindly gave us. For months, we pondered, should we get another dog, or should we? We just couldn't decide. A couple months went by, and one of our sons stopped by to see us one afternoon. He said, how are we doing? And he said, when are you going to get a new dog? And I told him I wasn't sure we would. Mary, my wife, interrupted and said, well, why should we? And he said, well, I think you should. She said, why? Well, I said, because Dad's getting so crabby. I wish I could say that wasn't a true story. The next day, Mary called her breeder in Wisconsin, where we got Belle, and she had a dog she was going to breed in a few months, and we got a dog later on that fall. We flew to Milwaukee and picked her up and brought her home with us. She's been so wonderful for us. So remember those stories and remember the things we talked about. And for your homework, if you have a pet, sit down with your family and ask what the family has learned from the pet. Ask them if they love the pet, if they think the pet loves them, and ask if they think it's worth the efforts and the expense. Now, if you don't have a pet, discuss the possibilities of getting one with your family. Ask first if your family can afford the time and the money of a pet. Then talk about what kind of pet you should get, who will feed it, walk it, bathe it, who will love it, and where would you get it. Then go to my website, www.parenting-matters.com, and tell me about your discussions. And if you'd like to be a guest on Parenting Matters, add a paragraph about yourself and tell me what you would like to discuss. Thanks for listening, and may God continue to bless you and your family.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Parenting Matters with Dr. Parr Donahue. Parenting Matters is produced and recorded inside the studios at the Catholic Pastoral Center. Thanks again for listening to WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming at WBOU.org.